Welcome to Pacific University Study Abroad podcast. My name is Soichiro Matahira, and today we'll be talking to Amy Mitter, who studied abroad in Japan. Thank you for coming, Amy.
Thanks for having me. I'm always willing to talk about my experiences abroad.
So how was Japan, Amy?
It was great. It was the best year of my life. I'd love to go back.
Why did you choose to learn Japanese?
I originally started studying Japanese because my older brother was also studying it. And after I started, I just found out I loved it.
I think Japanese is hard. If I were not Japanese, I wouldn't take it, though.
I think it's definitely hard, but so is any foreign language. And I don't know, even if everyone says, well, there's three alphabets and it's so crazy and it's so much harder, I don't think it's really that much harder. As long as you put your mind to it and practice and memorize what you're supposed to, anyone can speak Japanese.
What was your most surprising story in Japan?
The most surprising thing to me was the effect I seemed to have on other people. A lot of my friends told me that before they'd met me, they'd never considered leaving the country or having a foreigner friend. But after they met me, they were so confident in themselves that they decided to travel. One of my friends even went to Thailand a month after I left.
How about your most interesting story?
Well, one of the interesting things I did was I worked at the World Expo 2005 in Aichi Prefecture. It's kind of like a world's fair.
What did you do there?
I was one of three members in charge of coordinating a homestay program for my sister city, Seto.
What do you think about American culture now? And has it changed after you went to Japan?
I think American culture is very open and forgiving in comparison to Japanese culture. We're very accepting of different people and different races.
Did you feel any discrimination in Japan?
Not discrimination per se, but say, at my school there was about 30 foreigners, and every day we'll ride the same bus and the same train for like 40 minutes to get to school. And every single day, every single person on the bus will stare at you just because you're different skin. And just once a month, you want to scream and be like, what's wrong with you? You see me every day of the year, but you can't.
You're famous in the city. What did you think about that?
Like, most of the time, it's kind of cool or fun or whatever, but sometimes it's just like, stop looking at me. Like, it just makes you so self-conscious. Like, what did I do wrong? Am I wearing my shirt backwards today?
I think the reason is because we don't see many Americans in Japan. What do you think about that?
It's fine on a train in the middle of nowhere in the countryside where you don't see many Americans. But when it's the same kids every day on the same bus that see me every day of the year for like 360 days, it's not like we don't see many Americans.
Did you talk to them in Japanese or in English?
I have over 100 friends at my school who I've met by asking, hey, can I join you and play a game of soccer, to talking to on the bus or doing anything. Mostly I talk to my friends in Japanese, some I talk to in English. And there's about 30 other foreigners at the school that talk to everyone in the combination of English and Japanese too, so you figured they'd be used to it by now.
What do you think about Japanese culture then, and people?
Well, I love Japanese culture, and I love the people, which is the greatest part of Japan. But at times it gets under your skin, but I didn't really want to come back either.
What was your goal of study abroad, and do you think you accomplished it?
My main goal of studying abroad was, of course, fluency in the language, or as close to fluency as I could possibly get. And then some sub-goals were friendship and enjoyment. And I would say I pretty much achieved my goals, in that at the beginning, my friends still tease me that I could not carry on an entire conversation in Japanese for like an hour. And at the end, my friends would try to talk as fast as they possibly could in the strangest dialect they could think of, and then ask me if I understood it, and to explain it in normal Japanese. So I think my Japanese improved a lot while I was there.
I think the reason your Japanese is good is because you went places where there are not many foreigners. Did you ever use English?
Well, I lived with one person who spoke English, and my seven other roommates spoke Chinese, Vietnamese, and Japanese. So the only way to communicate was in Japanese on most days. And to go along with that, I'd say most of my friends, because there were only 10 foreigners in my vicinity that spoke English, most of my friends and most of my days were spent with Japanese people.
Did they know any English? How did you talk to them?
Most people know a little bit of English, but they're not confident enough in their skills to talk in it. And most of the time, we just end up speaking in Japanese because my Japanese ended up being better than their English. Or I'd help them with their English homework.
Do you think you've changed through study abroad?
Yes, I think I became much more confident in myself and my own abilities, which I kind of showed in the last week or the last month I was in Japan. I traveled to Korea by a really slow train and a boat with no English-speaking people on it, and spent like 5 days in Korea by myself, even though I don't speak any Korean.
That's cool. You went to Korea when you were in Japan. How about in Japan? Where did you go in Japan?
I have been to approximately half of the prefectures in Japan. I went down to Osaka and Kobe after being there for a few months with my friend to visit some Japanese friends that I'd met in America. In January, I went to Tokyo for like 3 days. And then I made two trips with a really crazy ticket called the Seishun 18 Kippu, which is a ticket that lets you ride 5 days, unlimited train changes, as long as you ride on local trains. So it takes about 17 hours to get from Nagoya City to Kyushu, the southernmost island of Japan. But it only costs $23. So I traveled all over the southern part of Japan, everywhere south of Nagoya, for about 10 days in spring and another 5 days in summer. And I climbed Mount Fuji.
Oh, I was going to ask you about this. What do you think about Japanese food?
At first, I thought I wouldn't be able to handle Japanese food. But most of the time, I found I was cooking for myself. So that was fine. And when we went out, I just had the mentality of try whatever and don't ask what it is. And with this in mind, I have eaten raw horse, raw whale, blowfish, which can kill you if they don't cut it right, and a number of other things that I probably don't even want to know about. So, but it was a good experience, and the horse and the whale are very good.
Did you have something you couldn't eat, like natto?
I can now eat anything. I took a week of practice eating natto every day, and now I can eat natto, and it's actually pretty good. And let's think. The only things I didn't like before I went to Japan. I have a thing against tomatoes and shrimp.
Sounds like you had a good time in Japan. How did you feel when you left? And do you want to go back to Japan sometime in your future? I know people who went to Japan, they are interested in JET program. Are you thinking about it?
Okay, too many questions at once. So, of course, at the beginning, I was sad. There are times like Christmas and worse than Christmas even, surprisingly, my birthday, when I really wanted to come home. But then at the end, like the last month or 2 months almost, I think like my chest was just constricted and I didn't want to leave and I was so sad and I was so worried that I'm going to miss all these people and all these wonderful friends I've met and I'm going to miss the food, I'm going to miss all these stupid little specific things. And now that I'm back and I think back on it, of course, like I miss my friends, but I still talk to them and that's fine. And it's not like this deep ache. The only thing I really miss, I can't even put words to, but I miss myself. I miss how happy I was there and how like perfect life seemed. And as for JET, yes, I'm considering applying for JET. I know that I want to go back and spend more time with the people I met there. But I also realize the more time I spend there, that no matter how much I want to live there or want to be Japanese, there's no such thing as a foreigner becoming Japanese. A Japanese person can become American in a couple years, but an American can never become Japanese. And with that in mind, I don't know if I'd ever be comfortable permanently residing in Japanese society because they could never accept you for who you are.
That's kind of interesting. What do you mean? Can you talk about it more?
Like, we say if a foreigner comes to America and lives there for a couple years, half the time, they don't have to speak English, and we call them American because they live there and they have a visa or whatever. They're American. But in going to Japan, I could live there for 20 years and be fluent in Japanese. But because I always look like a foreigner, and I have culture and parents that are foreign, the entire neighborhood will always call me the foreigner and always refer to me as the outsider. Some specific people may accept me for who I am and be good friends, but the town and the country as a whole will never overlook the fact that my skin's a different color and that my native language is a different language.
Did you hang out with Japanese people? What did you do when you had a time or on the weekend?
Well, I hang out with one American guy that I lived with a lot when there was no one else around and we lived together, so it was the easiest person to hang out with. But the rest of the time, I hang out with a whole bunch of Japanese people and no other foreigners. Point where, like, the first 3 months or so, I'd get invited to a party or something, and I'd go, and the first, like, hour would be fun, and I'd talk to a whole bunch of different people. And after that, I'd probably sit there for, like, 2 hours because I just couldn't pick up my Japanese enough and, like, jump into the conversation. And by the end, it was much better, and I could jump into the conversation, but I've spent a lot of time sitting in the backseat of a car and listening to people argue in Japanese, or sitting at a party and listening to, like, 20 people go off on some story about some person I don't know.
We played soccer before you went to Japan. Did you play soccer in Japan?
When I first got to Japan, I'd heard that the school I was going to didn't let girls play soccer at all. And so I went and talked to different people, and everyone I met told me that, no, girls can't play soccer at our school. But I had a friend in the area who I met over here, and he took me to his school, which was about a 30-minute bike ride from my house, and introduced me to his team. And I played with them as a member of their school club for the entire time I was in Japan. And I'd get bored on campus, and I'd sit around at this small futsal field and just, like, listen to the sound of soccer and, like, do my homework. And it's so stupid and embarrassing now, but I'd sit there for, like, a month, I swear. And one day some guy came up to me and just jokingly said, like, hi, how you doing? And kind of walked away. Like, I said hi back, and that's all the English he knew. So he didn't sit to talk. But I got up my courage and said, hey, if you guys get together to play soccer again, could I play too? And he says, yeah, sure, we play every Tuesday, so come during, you know, second period, and we can play. So I was so excited, and the next week I brought a change of clothes and shoes and got ready to play. And he never showed up. But at the same time, another group of about 10 guys was standing around the field, and they kind of looked at me, and I was in full soccer uniform, and was like, hey, do you want to play with us? And I was like, yes, of course, I'd love to. So the first group I ever played with was that group, and I think about 2 weeks later, my original group showed up, and somehow I got a reputation around the school for being pretty good at soccer, and by the end of the year, I had about 10 different teams that I could play on at any given time, and people in every grade level, from freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors, who would play soccer with me. All male, of course, but that was okay, that made it fun at times.
How was school in terms of classes? Did they teach in Japanese or in English?
Schools are mainly language classes. It's like 8 hours a week of like 3 grammar classes a week, 1 kanji class, 1 essay writing class, 2 speaking and a listening class, or something along those lines. And those were all taught with other foreigners. But fortunately, my class was half Caucasian and half Asian, with Chinese and Korean in the class as well. And so the class had to be taught entirely in Japanese, because the Koreans and Chinese wouldn't understand if you spoke English. And we had 2 elective courses a semester that were taught in Japanese or English, depending on what class you took and what level you wanted. I had an economics class that was taught in English, and this Japanese society class taught in English. And I had ceramics and a Japanese literature class taught in Japanese.
Is the school bigger than Pacific, or it's almost the same?
My school was fortunately about the same size as Pacific, possibly up to about 5,000 students, but not much more than that. The main difference right away was Pacific is about 60 to 70% female, while my school in Japan was about 60 to 70% male.
How do you like your homestay?
My homestay is actually very unique because the only time I needed to homestay was the last 3 weeks or so when I was living in Japan, and school had already ended, and I was just staying in Japan to work. So I brought up the idea with various people, and a lot of people said, Amy, come stay with us. Amy, come stay with us. And I said, well, it's my last couple weeks in Japan, and I'm working full-time, and my friends are going to want to go out at night. So I'm probably going to be coming home at, like, midnight or 2 in the morning. And I really don't want to disturb your family and stay with these families that have 8 to 1-year-old children in them. So a girl and who I'd been tutoring in English conversation, a high school girl, I mentioned this to her one day during our lesson, and she said, come stay with us. It's just me and my mom and my dad and my grandma. And we don't care if you come home in the middle of the night. And I said, no, it's okay, really. And she ran out of the room and told her parents, Amy needs a host family. Can she stay with us? And her parents were so excited. They begged me to stay, too. I said, all right, if you insist. And a couple days into it, they gave me a key to the house. And for about a week, I think I came home at 2 in the morning and woke up at 6 to eat breakfast with my dad. But I don't know. They were awesome. They were the best experience ever. They reminded me so much of my own family and just so accepting and easygoing. And although they definitely did speak some English, it was just, once again, easier to speak in Japanese every day.
How did you get places? Did you take a bus or a train?
Well, Japan has the most comprehensive, effective public transportation system in the world. And I took trains almost everywhere, except for the school bus to school. And I took a bus when I went to Tokyo. But the trains were interesting. In particular, one near my area, the one that I actually rode every day to school, had no English announcements in it of the names of the stops or anything. And the signs were written all in kanji, and there was no English to help you know where to buy your ticket for. So my friend, who I lived with, who was just starting Japanese 101 and couldn't read anything, couldn't ever figure out what ticket to buy to get off at whatever stop he wanted to get off at. So before he left the house, he'd memorize the name of the place, like Ozone or Obata, I think that's Obata, or Sakae, and tell me that's where he wanted to go, and I would have to get out a pen and write it on a piece of paper for him, the kanji, so that he could match up the pictures to, like, the price and the word on the sign at the station and buy his ticket. Because no one spoke English and no one could help him. But it wasn't really a problem for me.
Do you ever use Japanese after you came back here?
I actually have a lot more opportunities to use Japanese than I thought I would coming back from Japan. Of course, like most people who've just come back from study abroad, we are forced to take 400-level classes in Japanese. So I get to use Japanese in class. And while there are exchange students and Japanese students at my school, I try to avoid talking to them in Japanese because when I was in Japan, they all spoke to me in English, and that's backwards. They all spoke to me in Japanese because they always said, my friends always say, you're paying the money to go abroad to study the language over there, so they should let you learn Japanese, and vice versa. People who come here are paying the money to study abroad in America, so we should speak English to them if they want us to. But, however, because I speak Japanese, about a month into the school year after I got back from study abroad, one of my Japanese friends in the area called me up and said, at like 8 o'clock in the morning, and started speaking Japanese on the phone, which I haven't done in a couple months, and said, hey, Amy, we need someone who can speak Japanese to work at this Japanese restaurant in the area. Wouldn't you like to do this? Do you have some free time? I said, sure, why not? And about half the staff, or basically all the Japanese staff in the restaurant, refuses to speak to me in English. So I get lots of Japanese practice 3 to 4 days a week whenever I have work.
Do you have any advice for people who are thinking about studying abroad in the future?
My main advice for anyone is just stay out of the house and make Japanese friends. Just hanging out and talking with your friends every day can be considered studying. So, and just study hard.
Thank you for coming, Amy. It was really interesting.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad I was able to share my experiences with you.